We got Barstool Riggs on the phone. He covers college basketball for Barstool Sports. What's going on, man?
Not much, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. All right, so Riggs, I grew up in the press atmosphere with Arkansas. That's a team I've watched for a number of years. Nolan Richardson ran it. John Pelfrey ran it a little bit. Now Mike Anderson's running it. So this big league writer comes out last week and saying it's ruining basketball and they need to end it completely. And you had an issue with it. I had an issue with it. In your mind, why is that article and that thought just completely stupid?
I mean, just the premise of it is the dumbest thing in the world. That's like saying you can't be tall and play basketball because you have an advantage for offensive rebounds. It's a style of play where it's like saying you can't hold the ball. You can't play like Virginia and take too much time off the clock on offensive possessions because it limits how many possessions the opponent has. Like, it was honestly just the dumbest thing I've ever read, to put it bluntly. Because it's a style play. Like, you can take advantage of it. Teams can take advantage of it. Like, if it was a huge advantage, guess what? Arkansas, West Virginia, they'd be winning titles year after year. They haven't. Like, it's a style play like anything else. And it was just, I mean, the guy just missed a boat. I mean, it was just factually incorrect.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you actually wrote an article that I read, I think it was end of 2017, maybe in November, about why teams don't press enough. And there's a different style of press. West Virginia, Arkansas, they're up in you 94 feet, up in you the full court. And then there's Villanova where you half court press and certain other teams run it. Looking at the statistics and how it limits offensive possessions, like good offensive possessions, and it just limits the time you have left on the shot clock, why don't more college basketball teams press?
It's a couple things. One, our coaches are stubborn. You know, if they run a half-court man-to-man, like, that's just how they're going to be. We see it right now with, like, Krzyzewski and Calipari kind of avoiding running zones, even though they should be running zones. I mean, Kentucky's a perfect example. Like, they should be pressing nonstop this year, right? Like, use your athleticism. You have depth. Use that. You know, let everyone kind of run, you know, run around and trap and go. But it's a weird thing because it depends who you play too, obviously. You know, there are some matchups where, like, you don't want to press Villanova where there's a bunch of ball handlers and they can beat you with shooting and they can beat you getting to the lane. So it's one that I think every coach should kind of have in their back pocket and use time to time, because we see, how many times do we see teams collapse against the press?
Well, let me get into a question now, and we're going to move from the press, which, you know, a lot of people do because they don't like to don't like the press. But we're going to go and talk about, you know, talking, being in Tennessee and talking about SEC basketball. I'm using them as an example, but this is all across college basketball. What do you think about the talent spread this year in basketball, how it's not so much, there is no the Power Five teams and teams like that really are kind of struggling in a sense compared to how much talent is spread across NCAA basketball. You look at SEC, how Kentucky really taking a step back with how many teams, look at Alabama, how Colin Sexton spread. How can you talk about the spread of talent in all of college basketball?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing more though this year is the ability for upperclassmen to test the waters and leave early for the NBA draft. Like, that's taken away some more of the upper class. And that's why you're seeing, you know, this year a lot more balance of talent because there's always been, you know, five stars that have gone elsewhere than the blue blood. So it's not like this year's an aberration with Sexton at Alabama or even like Brandon McCoy at UNLV, but it's just more, those teams that typically win early with the upperclassmen just didn't have them this year. They don't have their better ones this year. So I think it's more of a weird year in that sense than it is something you'll see standard going forward.
And also, we had a question earlier that came through in our mailbag talking about players staying home, i.e. you look at John Petty in Alabama, Trey Young in Oklahoma. Do you think that's going to be more of a trend instead of people going, especially with tonight being Zion Williamson making the big decision or whatever they're calling it, the announcement, I don't know. But do you think that's going to be more of a trend with big-name players staying home or still going out to Dukes and things like that across the country?
I think it's going to stay kind of how it is. Like, you know, there'll be one or two big names every year that stay at home. Obviously, I think, you know, if I bet, I would bet Zion stays at home with Clemson. But, you know, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the Kansases of the world, they're still going to pull from, you know, New York, New Jersey, Texas, Illinois, all over. But you'll see, you know, there'll always be, you know, two every year that kind of spur the big name and stay at home for, you know, maybe a lesser known or a lesser heralded Power 5, Power 6 type conference team.
Regis is our guest here on Forever March, presented by Kung Fu Saloon. Follow him on Twitter at Barstool Regis. All right, you're an NBA GM, Regis. Pick one. DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Trae Young.
Ooh, I've had Bagley number one before the season, and I still had him number one the last time I did a top 30 release. But it's close, man. Like, I feel like DeAndre Ayton's going to pass him at some point. I'm just kind of betting that Bagley figures it out a little bit with the shooting consistency and the defense. But I'll take Bagley just because I think he's a little bit more versatile than Ayton. And, Young's in his own world, too. So it's tough, but I'll go Bagley for now.
All right, Sean Miller's never made a Final Four. He's had some studs come through Arizona. Lauri Markkanen, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson, Aaron Gordon, Derek Williams. I mean, there's others that I can name. Looking at his team this year, you got DeAndre Ayton, who's probably first, second, or third pick in the NBA draft, and Alonzo Trier, who's either early second round, late first round. Can the Wildcats finally get to the Final Four this season under Sean Miller?
Yeah, they can. I mean, it's been a little overblown as the fact that he's never made a Final Four because he's made, like, what, three straight Elite Eight mm-hmm. and lost. Won't have to play Wisconsin. And he lost the one where Derek Williams should have went to the rim against UConn and said he settled for a pull-up jumper and missed. So he's had kind of bad luck in that sense. But it's – I think what people kind of forget is it's so tough to make a Final Four. Like, let alone win the thing. It's hard to make a Final Four. You have to win four in a row against three or four really good teams. They absolutely can do it. Like, they have top five talent, you know, in the country. It's just a matter of can they figure out what the heck to do with their lineups.
Now, you talked about Trae Young being in his own world, and a lot of criticism has came to Trae Young ever since the Kansas State game. What are your views on Trae Young right now? We had another question coming through our mailbag talking about if he would bounce back after this K-State game. What are your views on him right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a road game against a team that's a pretty good defensive team, and he's a freshman. Like, it happens to it happens to every freshman in the country, but it also happens to juniors and seniors. Like, I think his legs were a little gone because he had to play West Virginia and Texas Tech back-to-back, two of the three games prior. You know, that takes a toll on a guy. He pressed a little bit, but, you know, I'm not going to overreact to a road game against a, you know, NCAA tournament bubble team that's a good defensive team. He's still phenomenal. I kind of joked in a blog today that, you know, I think you have to overreact because that's what everyone wants to do, you know, the moment there's a bad game from a guy like him.
Makes good content.
Yeah, right. Like, it's if you just say immediately, like, well, Trae Young's normal. And it's like, no, he's not.
Riggs, let me keep the Trae Young conversation going. So, looking at KenPom, he is the number one player in the country right now in possession. And I'm a huge Oklahoma City fan. Russell Westbrook has taken the majority of shots, possession, whatnot. And so Westbrook's been up all these MVP numbers. And my thought is, well, he has the ball like 90% of the time. And Trae Young's doing the same thing. He's taking the most shots. He's passing because the ball's in his hands. Long career's basically giving the keys to the kingdom and whatnot. Could I make the argument that because Trae Young has the ball 24/7, that he might be a little overrated, especially with possibly being an NBA draft prospect?
No, I mean, you have to remember, like, they're playing up and down a lot more. It's part of Kruger's offense. Like, it just kind of fits what he does best. Like, he's not – I think one thing you have to remember, too, is he's getting his teammates involved. It's not like he's running down just jacking up shots every possession. He's doing a little bit of it all. So I'm not worried about that.
All right, Reegs, co-host of the Fundamentally Sound podcast. You can find all of his college basketball content at Barstool Sports. Reegs, one more fun question before we let you go. So you do that Fundamentally Sound podcast with Ben Bruss, former Wisconsin player. How many times have you guys talked about that shot, that like half-court shot he hit against Michigan to tie that game up in, I think it was Madison, but it could have been in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, it was in Madison. He brings it up quite a bit. So I just have to keep him back down to earth and remind him about the Aaron Harrison shot. So it's always fun.
That's all he did. Aaron Harrison did hit that. He defended it as best he can. He had a hand up, and Aaron Harrison was like 3 feet behind the college full 3-point line. I mean, golly, I didn't know that was, I forgot that was him, man. Jeez. Oh.
Yeah.
That's something you could definitely bring him down a little bit. All right. Reegs, co-host of the Fundamentally Sound Fundamentally Sound podcast. You can find all of his college basketball content at Barstool Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Barstool Reegs. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Appreciate you just sharing your content with us, and hopefully we'll get you later down the road.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Barstool Reegs, thank you for calling in.